Hello, everyone, and welcome to At the Still Point. I'm Dr. Ryan Christensen here with Shaman Steve. Happy Monday, Shaman Steve.
Yes, happy Monday.
I think we both got a case of the Mondays today. How are you doing?
As much as I really hate that scene because I love that movie, today does feel like it's a case of the Mondays.
I hope our listeners have enjoyed resting this week as we integrated. It's been a little rough and Mercury is fully in retrograde now and our internet wasn't working well at the office. And I just laughed because one of my favorite teachers talks about triggers being the doorway. And boy, have I had a lot of those. So I feel like I'm on The Price is Right looking behind door number 1, 2, or 3 to see what we're going to find today. Which, do you want to introduce our topic to the viewers?
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about today's topic.
Shaman Steve is excited.
Today, we're going to talk about the soul's shadow, exploring duality, desire, and our spiritual path.
Shadow work, Shaman Steve.
Yeah, what comes first in that is our duality. That's like the foundation, the flooring. This is the true essence of us. And duality, for me, is the tension between the human divine within us. The desire is our soul's misdirected longing. Our ego is the veil of our true essence. And the shadow is our untapped reservoir of power.
Wow, you covered a lot there, and I'd like to unpack some of that.
Yeah, let's unpack it.
When we talk about the shadow, let's define that for our listeners. Doesn't this term come from our friend Carl Jung?
Yes, it does.
Carl Jung, the famous psychologist, very well known, he talked about the light. And we can think about shining a flashlight, right? Shining the light.
Yeah.
And doing a finger puppet. And on the other side, maybe the dark side of the moon. Or the other side of the coin that we see is the root from our oneness, which is the singularity of the universe, into duality, two parts. Light and dark is often seen as that initial duality for people.
Yeah, it is.
And a big bang, depending on whatever flavor of wholeness you're coming into, this duality that Shaman Steve speaks of is not the separate thing. It is a result of light illuminating an object, and they casts a shadow.
Correct.
And the thing about this shadow is we're all afraid of this thing because we're told like, oh, this is your shadow, or you're a bad kid, or you're not going to be good because somebody gave you a judgment based on this duality. Frankly, it pisses me off because it's not true. And we are perfectly divine beings, but we don't see this as a part of ourselves, right? Is that why it becomes a issue? Because you talk about this misdirected longing and the ego. The ego for me is the protector, right? That part of ourselves that is my watchman. He's the one looking around saying, okay. Shaman Steve. Whoa.
Yeah. He is like your bouncer at the door a little bit. But sometimes at the same time, he's also superly overprotective.
So what is the shadow for you? Do you think I captured it right with that light darkness thing? Or do you have a little deeper way that we can understand the shadow as a part of duality as we get into this?
First, to understand what the shadow is, we have to understand the other side of the coin too. So because they feed into each other, the light and the shadow, or they play off each other.
You can't have one without the other, because if you're just dark, it's just going to be dark all the time. So you have to have light to have a shadow.
Exactly. So our light is our love, our kindness, our aspirations, things like that.
Or our essence, right? Because like you look at a baby and it's full of this, like the whole world hasn't corrupted this perfect little thing yet.
Yeah, exactly. And then you have to look at like your shadow represents the hidden repressed qualities, our fears, our angers, our desires even.
And that's a part of us that we're hiding.
Yeah.
Interesting, Shaman Steve. Yes. Take us deeper.
You have to realize that the human itself is bound by ego. And so like we need it because the ego is our personal identity, our earthly experiences.
And that's our survival, right? This is how we've lasted through the lineage, is being able to survive the attacks of a saber-toothed tiger or a Tyrannosaurus Rex. years ago, and now we owe that car that came through too fast to Pontiac, right?
Yeah. It's still, you know, with that too, the ego also feeds into our competitive nature. It feeds into our, it can even feed into our, some other qualities we don't like. We'll use like a workaholic as an example. It feeds into that the quality that you're not good enough, so you have to do this extra work to become good enough. So you're constantly judging yourself. And so with that, you think you have to put in all this work that you don't really, it doesn't matter because they're going to judge you either way. So why do that extra work to yourself when judgment is around the corner no matter what? But when we let that slip in, that takes away from all the other experiences we have, because now we're solely concentrating on work and we're forgetting our friends and our family and all the other things that actually brought us joy, just so we can seek that approval from someone else. And then that feeds our ego. And then the ego says, oh, thank you. Now let's go again. And it's just this continuous cycle.
That's right. And in our past traumas, usually as children, we had to kowtow or change our needs for caregivers or other ways to survive. That we've talked about some of these soul fragments, like how do these parts of us get disconnected? Every time that you can't say yes or no to your true desires, and you hide and suppress those feelings, those emotions, those energies in motion. And this, I think, is where we get into duality, is the dance, because it's the interplay of the light, which is our divine nature, and the shadow, those unhealed parts we named.
Yep.
And it reminds me of the yin-yang. That this picture, and for those listeners, we'll put an image of this too, is the yin-yang. Notice the black and the white intermingle. They're swimming together, but there's a dot in the center of the opposite color. So below this sadness is love. Below this grief and fear is a desire that your life can be better than it has been. So you're not settling for the status quo. That's what I think is so cool about the shadow, is it invites us to rediscover true wholeness, because we know what we want and what we don't want. That's our yes, that's our no, that's the light, that's the dark. And I think that's the duality.
Yeah, sometimes we need to go a little bit deeper, because when we have all this stuff that's cooped up in our shadow, it starts to control our lives too. Mm-hmm. And with that, it can take us down some, it either puts us in bad situations with relationships or with other people. Other people such as, not, I meant with relationships like friends or girlfriends, boyfriends, significant other relationships.
Romantic friendship. It'll spill out, right? It'll spill out into all your relationships if you're carrying this unhealed parts around, wearing them maybe as a badge of honor. I know I did that for a long time.
But it feeds your ego, because your ego can still show off, but then at the same time, it can still hide. Your ego still can become your fortress of solitude, and it can wall off others, but it can also wall off yourself, because then you're not going deep inside yourself, because you're letting your ego sit in its kind of high and mighty fortress and castle, and then sit there and project that image and that idea and that concept down into every fiber of your being.
That's right. And we learned this, right? And believed it.
Yeah.
And it's not the truth.
No.
So what is the truth?
The truth is that we need both sides of ourselves. And until you can do your shadow work and embrace both sides of yourself, then you'll always be chasing one side or the other. You're always going to be trying to chase the divine, or you're going to be living in fear of your shadow. And until you try to combine both of them, and then you can live in wholeness and in stillness and within yourselves, then that's when, you know, the real healing, and that's when you become truly who you're meant to be.
Wow. And it takes acceptance. It takes acceptance when you look at these dark, shadowy parts of yourself. You say, I'm not going to run away from that. How do we do that, Steve? Should we get into, like, what are the steps to break this down very granularly? Because this is a big topic.
It is. There's a lot to go over. We talked about the duality of things, but
what's the root of that duality? The shadow, is this what we hold on to with attachment? our emotional desires, our attachments are like, I really want that person to love me. I want them to care for me. And I was having a nice conversation with my mom this week, and she was just like, sometimes, honey, you're just going to be really disappointed. And there's nothing you can do. You just have to deal with the disappointment. And it was such a loving conversation. And I felt so seen afterwards, but it was like that kind of sticky feeling of like, you're holding out for something more, but yet you can't quite get there. And it's this longing feeling for me that is like being human. More and more I reflect, I was talking with a patient today and like 80% of our life seems like suffering and 20% seems like joy. And you never know when that little 20% is going to be, but that feels just like a dark way of seeing the world.
No, but that's a lot of times because we keep feeding our ego and we keep not doing our shadow work because we keep feeding the shadow instead of embracing the shadow.
What's the difference? Can you explain the difference between feeding? Is this that like white and dark wolf kind of combo? Have you heard that story?
Yeah.
A native teacher was telling his student about the nature of the universe. And he said, it's like you can imagine that there's two wolves, one on each shoulder. One is a white wolf and one is a dark wolf. And there's only one that can survive fully. And he got really quiet and the student said, which one will survive? And the teacher said, the one you feed.
Yep.
And I think that's our choice here, is how to honor the pain without gaslighting or bullying ourselves for experiencing it and how to feel it fully. Because I think our desire and our attachment was more a result of how we were programmed than maybe any problem with us. Because I don't know if we have those parts of ourselves.
Yeah, because what it comes down to is the difference between integration and suppression.
Okay.
With that, many of us try to suppress our shadow aspects, believing that we must be good and positive at all times. However, the denial of this, it just strengthens the shadow's influence.
Got it. So by trying to palliative yourself or make it go away, we're bypassing it and then it builds up.
Yes. Yeah. So like true integration occurs when we stop labeling our parts of ourselves as good or bad and instead see them as pieces of the whole. So that's what I mean by embracing it, is because consider our consciousness, our psyche, our mental awareness is like a puzzle. And we love the easy outside edges because those are easy to define. They're square on at least one edge. So it's easy to get that border done. And now we need to put all the other pieces in. What really stinks is when there's one section of the puzzle that's all the same color. And so all the pieces look like, and sometimes that integration is just finding where the pieces fit properly within yourself.
And you can't force a puzzle. You know what happens when you force a puzzle, you ruin the corners.
Yeah, you gotta integrate it properly. So sometimes it takes a while to find the right way that puzzle piece fits in the puzzle, because it's only going to go one way, but you got four options. So sometimes we got to put that one option in. It's like fits until you try to put the next piece in next to it and go, that's not right. And then you start moving the pieces around a little bit. We got to take care of ourselves that same way. You got to take the good pieces and the bad pieces because they all complete the puzzle.
And when we identify with only the suffering part of ourselves, or only the scared part, or say things like, I am my pain and I'm unworthy, or somehow believing that, we're telling ourselves lies.
Yeah. We're just feeding. At that point, you're feeding back into the ego to build up the walls to protect yourself.
And is it always conscious? I don't think so.
No. Some of it's like a learned behavior, because that's the influences in our life set the boundaries of our ego.
Well, we learned about why that is from neuroscience, is that the brain, as kids, we're in the alpha theta state until about the age of 8. So you're just a little transparent sponge picking up your whole environment. And if nobody looked at you lovingly or gave you kind words, you learn that the world, the universe is an unsafe place. And a lot of us have that belief still and are carrying around that almost like a backpack that we're proud to show off.
Yeah. And think about it like this way too. When you're in school, kindergarten, first grade, for an example, because they're generally pretty rambunctious still at that age.
I love that.
And so when the teacher says, good boys and girls don't yell, now it teaches that kid never to speak out or never to
express a need.
Yep. Because good boys and girls don't yell. And that's a way that keeps us in that same mindset.
Wow. And I think this suppression of our feelings leads to a lot of other consequences. And one for me was addiction. I got sober from alcohol 10 years ago because drinking was not safe for me. And I was, again, if you had my problems, you would drink too. And I just really realized that how much of this became a place that I could richly dig into the soil to find it. Like the Buddhists say, no mud, no lotus. And the swamp is that rich place where we get all the muck, but you got to dredge it sometimes. You got to dig it out and see what's in there. And it's messy and stinky.
Well, and you got to...
Beautiful. If we can see it that way.
Sometimes you got to go through the shit to see the beauty that's on the other side of the shit.
Mm. What tips from shamanism can we talk about how to get through and I guess not repress this?
You know, first we have to look at different, you got to be able to put all of these things that you're feeding the shadow. You need to be able to understand a little bit more and know what you're doing to yourself. You brought up addiction and we have to look at like the shadow's role in addiction because oftentimes addiction is the shadow's refusal to face reality. We use substances.
It's the spoiled kid crying out for attention, right?
Yeah. It's these substances or even like I talked about the workaholic, these compulsive behaviors like that, they act as just as a temporary escape.
Well, and alcohol was the symptom for me. I think the addiction came from my stinking thinking that led to my drinking.
That's a good thing.
There's 12 steps and a lot of old timers over coffee that taught me some of this early on because I was really angry when I got sober and had to feel all my feelings. I think I drank a lot to numb the pain of what I thought my life was.
Yeah. People struggle with a lot of those, the feelings of unworthiness. And so that's why they turned the drugs and the alcohol to numb that root cause and just deal with their inadequacies with whatever that they're dealing with. So they turned the substances or the behaviors as a coping mechanism instead of leaning into it.
I think we all do that though, don't we? There's always times that I'm like looking to avoid discomfort. I'm a creature of comfort. I don't like to.
But your avoidance is feeding it.
No, and I understand that. But like, how do I change my nature? I guess as we get this, some of this is no matter how much we think we're broken, we're also perfectly on time and perfectly human because some of these things, like we're never going to fix our ego. We're never going to get to the mountaintop. There's always going to be another thing.
We will never in our minds or in these bodies, ego won't allow us to, but it doesn't mean that we can't live like the yin and yang and be that constant cycle of good and bad with even within each other.
And that's the flowing like the river, right?
Yep.
That we just trust that we don't have to push it faster and we don't have to block it. We let it flow at the rate it needs to flow and have curiosity and compassion. And I think we've talked a little about mindfulness in previous episodes, and that's a really beautiful way, but it's also honoring the journey of the hero. Indiana Jones and Star Wars wouldn't be great if there wasn't some conflict before the hero won. It wouldn't be an epic story without that part of the journey, would it?
No, you need that conflict in life to sometimes put you on your right path or put you in the best situations and give you your highest and greatest good that you can do for yourself or for the community or for the world or the unity of the universe.
Now we're talking, this sounds like Dark Night of the Soul stuff, doesn't it?
It all feeds into that. If you're doing the shadow work and you're not embracing that side and feeling those.
We all have illness or death or loss or grief that comes up. We don't choose to lose people we love. We don't choose for that weird traumatic thing to happen.
Oh, no. If we had a choice, we wouldn't choose those things for sure. We wouldn't choose the death of a grandparent that we've confided in and sought solace in and everything.
Right, save people that we love.
Right? We wouldn't choose the death of those people.
And I think that's the most important thing about starting with these uncomfortable emotions is validating them as real. Because the pain that you're feeling in the shadow is directly relational to the amount of hurt you experienced in the past. Your feelings are all valid. Like, I would be angry too if that happened to me.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we have to start with, is sometimes, like, when you're pissed, you have to be pissed. And when you're sad, you have to be sad. And I think a lot of us are more in disgust and rage and despair and some other really heavy emotions right now. At least it seems to be coming up in my meditations.
It comes up in mine too. It's not like there is any one of us that's infallible. We all have our foibles and our little things that make us who we are and do what we do.
Well, I'm not talking about the personality traits. I'm talking about the, like, the, when you sit in it, in the practice, you have a difficult practice. I'm not saying I had a bad practice that day anymore. I'm saying I had a challenging practice.
Okay. Yep.
I teach our collaborators to say, I'm having a pain day. We had a conversation too recently. What do you say when somebody asks you how your day is and it's shit?
I tell them, me personally, I tell them exactly how it is.
That's what we love about your shaman, Steve. Yeah. It's your lack of tact and realness for the folks.
I know my audience, so my tact is based on my audience. but like today, this morning was not the best start to the day. And at
you
work,
talk about it?
Well, at work, when things aren't going how you anticipated them to go and there's challenges and someone wants to come up and have a friendly conversation and you just, and they're like, hey, how's it going? It's going like crap and I got a lot to do. And they look at me and go, okay, I understand. And they walked away.
So that was such a loving response because, like, they allowed you to be as you were. They didn't try to change you.
No. Nope.
They validated, gosh, I'm sorry that you're having a bad day. Peace.
Yeah. I think by the look I gave him too, he realized that maybe I just wasn't in the mood to talk also.
What would you tell somebody though that's afraid of expressing even that level of emotion? Like, maybe it has been unsafe in the past, or like maybe getting the courage to say, yeah, I'm having a challenging day, or I'm grumpy today. Like,
you just have to lean into, what are you comfortable letting the outside world know? How deep you're willing to let other people in. And sometimes that is baby steps. Sometimes it's just, I'm not feeling it today. Mm-hmm. I'm just doing okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay to just, you don't have to be good. You know, when someone says, hey, how's it going? Nah. I've done it many times. Nah. It's okay.
Yep.
I'm just fine.
Yep.
And if you, as you get used to projecting that out all the time, you'll find that you start getting to you'll eventually get to the point where you're like, you know what? It's crappy and I got a lot to do. I
practice makes perfecter. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, you have to try to express it. And I don't think we're doing any of ourselves a favor by not telling the truth to the people in our lives.
No, because then what we're doing to the other people in our lives is we're making them think that maybe it's their fault. And then you're causing them the same issues that you're going through, is because now you've projected out your, in a negative manner, you've projected onto someone else, and now it's feeding into their shadow, their fear, their anxiety. So
right, and instead of becoming a solution, you became a bigger problem.
Yep.
Because you fed into that, like you were mentioning before.
It just feeds and snowballs. So, you know, we always talk about how the good vibes, if you keep passing the good vibes along and you live in that type of environment all the time, good things are always going to happen and you're always going to be in a better mood than someone that's always in a negative environment. We got to do that same thing. So if you're willing to be honest and share your feelings, then other people will be honest and share their feelings with you also. And then it creates an environment where you can share those experiences openly without judgment or recourse from peers or family.
And if you don't have a safe space to express this, that's a really big root cause of dis-ease.
Yeah.
And the addiction, because we're only as sick as our secrets. And if I can't tell the truth to myself, that's a hard place to be. And I think that's, sometimes it takes the courage to jump off into the deep end. I think that's a cannonball theory of osteopathy, right? Sometimes you just got to get pushed in. And we don't choose these initiations either, these dark nights of the soul or the spiritual descent, or whether, I think the Buddha renounced his worldly pleasures and other mystics talked about this dark night of the soul, or this time when you just have nowhere else to cry out to but to the divine.
Yeah, and sometimes that's, as simple as that song that's playing in the car on your way home that just stirs that emotion. Just feel that emotion. If it brings up rage, scream out.
Scream it.
Pound the steering wheel. Pound the center console. If it's making you laugh, sing along. Whatever.
Let it out.
Whatever that feeling is, let it out. If it's just that you're going to, you want to cry it out. We've all been there. We've all done that.
Tears are holy.
You know what? I'm not afraid to admit that I've cried it out on occasion or two.
Heck, I cried 3 times today.
So it's just part of our human existence. And you need to embrace every emotion because that's the uniqueness of being human. That's the uniqueness of being in this world. And the more you can feel every emotion and lean into your emotions, the more you will pass that on to other people, because people will see you as an example and be like, if he can, why can he do it so easy all the time? What's his secret? And then they start doing it, and then someone else catches them. It spreads.
It ripples out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think this is the part of grace and surrender and self-compassion that, like, you don't know until, and we all go through really hard things and judge ourselves harshly for experiencing suffering. But more and more, I think it's not we're punished for our sins, but we're punished by our sins, right? When you avoid doing that hard thing, there's always something that comes back and bites you in the butt.
Yep.
Or like the not listening to doing the extra practice or thing. Like, I try to really be tuned into that yes of what the divine is saying, but sometimes it's really difficult.
Even avoidance.
Right. And bypassing, we do to ourselves a lot.
Well, yeah, because we don't want to deal with that conflict. We don't want to. Oh, I'm too busy for that. Oh,
well, maybe
I can't be bothered. These are the things that we commonly tell ourselves to try to bury that away. But the problem is when you bury it into your shadow.
Spiritual gaslighting.
Yep. And so all you're doing is just putting away your problems for another day. And you're not going to want that other day to come, because it's not going to be you can just open up one jar. It's going to be you open the door and the shelf full of jars falls on you.
Right. You don't get a choice then.
No. And that's when it gets really difficult. And that's when it becomes an even bigger challenge that, you know, some people really struggle to go through. And that's when you're pushed to that point, that's where addiction can grab you.
Yeah.
If you're not careful.
Yeah. Or the other darkness, right?
Yes.
Like the people that get into some of the, there's some sticky places in the universe that we choose to stay out of because there's not a lot of light there.
No. But without the light, you can't have the shadow. So they do have to coexist.
When our inherent light is there.
Yep.
As a human, you have a hue, you have a light. And it's truly, I don't know, I just think it's beautiful because, and I want to spend a little extra time in our session today talking about how to begin this path of integrating our shadows and owning our shadows. Because I think that I really appreciate that you talked about that projection.
Yeah.
Because I do it all the time and I'm so unconscious of it sometimes. Because like you want people to understand where you're coming from. And I try to justify way too much. I try to over-explain. Gosh, it can be rough. But look at me noticing it and then having compassion. Like, oh, look at Ryan being a silly little human.
Because
he got grumpy and I'm grumpy now. And I'm like, I'm working on it. But
you're leaning into it.
I think it's more not leaning out, but thanks. I appreciate that. I'm trying to feel it.
Well, but the act of trying is the act of leaning in. So you are trying. I'm not saying that you're fully bent over and digging in the dirt with it, but you got your shovel out and your foot's on the shovel.
Right.
You're ready to
thinking about it.
But so do you have any way to help get us started?
Yeah, I think we could talk a little bit about like how to greet and find some of those unacknowledged parts. And I want to remind our listeners too of some of the themes we've already talked about. The whole breath work, a centering prayer of some kind, just repeating a mantra over and over. I am safe. I am safe to feel. I am safe to feel all my emotions. All my emotions are valid. And that's been a doorway for me of just saying, hey, the three rules, at least for me, are infinite grace, infinite surrender and acceptance, because I don't choose how my emotions respond, just like I didn't choose attraction or other things or my skin color.
Yep.
I didn't choose those things.
Nope.
So I have to honor that I just got that card dealt to me. And I can get angry about it or fired up, but it doesn't do me any good. It just prolongs my suffering.
No, it's not going to change anything either.
Oof, wake a vault. And lastly is the work of self-compassion. And this was a doorway I learned from Buddhism, and a practice that we're going to talk about today is based on Pema Chodron's book, Start Where You Are, in a concept where she talks about Milarepa, the famous warrior, who was found himself in a cave. And he was surrounded by all these demons. And he got his sword out and he fought, and the demons got bigger and bigger around him. And finally, he tired out, and he laid his sword down. And then they put their swords down. And then he sat down, and then they sat down. And then he looked around, and all of a sudden, a couple of them had vanished. And he was like, this is interesting. So then he relaxed, and he took a breath. And as he calmed down, he fell asleep, and he woke up, and he was staring back with one demon left in front of him. And he looked, and the story goes that he saw compassion, finally, for that demon. And it left. And by not fighting, by not attaching, and by meeting this demon or this entity with gentle compassion, it allowed itself to flow. And he didn't have to force it. He just simply allowed it. And thank you for that tree practice, by the way. I drew my tree.
Oh, did you?
A couple more times.
Good.
And I told a couple of folks about it. And I hope everyone who listened to the podcast has drawn their tree. And I'd invite you to post something if you want us to look at it.
Yeah, that'd be great.
We'd love to see. And I want to share an exercise for meeting the shadow. This is truly shadow work, right? The kind of thing. And if you're in a comfortable space, let's go ahead and get adjusted. Check in with your shoulders and your breath. Feel your feet flat on the floor. Don't do this part if you're driving. And if you sit comfortably and close your eyes, take a couple deep breaths, noticing any areas of tension, of dis-ease or discomfort. And then see if you can just allow the breath to take you in and out. Twice more. In and out. Good. And you're going to see in front of you, as your eyes close, gently relaxed, a single chair sitting in a little area. It's pleasant around there and feels good. And you just relax into sitting in a chair, sitting across from another chair. And just notice that chair in front of you. And see if there's anybody who would like to come visit. Be curious, non-judgmental, and see who's around to come and say hello. It may be a dark or a gentle, maybe a small or large figure. Welcome whoever comes and invite them to come sit in the chair. Offer them a cup of tea and take a breath in here. That's right. Now, see if they tell you anything. Or see if you can notice anything. This is a part of you. This is not an enemy. This is a visitor. And he may look a little scary, as I do. Sometimes Shaman Steve does. Mostly me. But then we're going to sit there and gently ask her or him to maybe show us what they represent. Maybe what message they have. Maybe they have a story or a gift for you. Invite it to take off its coat, to sit down and listen. And after each question, just give yourself a moment to breathe and notice what you're seeing now. That's right, listen to the answers, even if they come as feelings or images. Rather than words. Now hold that space, breathing in, and notice what happens. Feel your internal sensation, as well as what you're observing in your vision. That's right. Now receiving any other messages or asking any other questions, we're going to thank this being for bringing the lessons. We want to acknowledge how much effort and work it took for it to protect you, for it to carry you here. And even if it says that it did something really bad, just validate it. Validate its feelings, validate its methods. Might have been misguided, but it really tried hard. Reminded that you're going to give it grace and compassion. You're going to greet it like a friend instead of an enemy. And see what you get out of this beautiful little practice. And go ahead and now, gently shifting back into your body, wiggle your fingers and toes. Take a nice breath. Thank any last messengers. And then see that chair dissolve as you come back into your body. And now thank yourself for taking a moment to visit a part of yourself that has maybe been neglected, has maybe been scared. How do you feel, Shaman Steve?
Better.
What came up for you?
Just, you know, the last few days, why am I feeling like crap?
I just would like our listeners to know that Shaman Steve went from having a relatively sour face earlier in the episode to now what could be described as a Cheshire smile. He's relatively joyful and is back to his baseline. No, I really love this practice, and I did it the first time a few years ago with a tea with your demons session with some teachers, Yumi and Kuan Yin, who I think are both listening to the podcast. So at least Kuan Yin is, and sent us a nice note. So I just really appreciate the opportunity to share this practice. It's been so meaningful for me. And it's one I visit often and am really trying to make friends with those parts of ourselves that we learn to neglect, because these are all parts of us that deserve validation. They deserve love, and they only became a shadow because we ostracized them.
Yep.
That was me doing it. I'm my problem and I'm my solution. What a great topic.
Yes. That's exactly it, though. You are the problem and the solution. And I thank you for bringing that up, that practice in, because I do feel like that could help a few people. Just, you can do it daily.
And we'll write up this practice for you too, so that you can do, or maybe release it as a small guided audio.
There you go.
Because I think this will be really helpful to allow yourself to process this a few times and use your paper, use your journal, and use some of these tools that we talk about. These don't cost a lot of money. These are simple practices.
Yeah.
And if you can do these kind of little snack, just try it. Give us a few notes and see what works for you. Because if we start with this gentle compassion, boy, the power of this healing. Our bodies know what to do.
And if you can get into this gentle practice, imagine how far you can go if once you start leaning in a little bit more and more to this, because you will reap the rewards of the work that you do. You get out of it what you put into it.
And we come back to where we began. This shadow is not something that we fear, but it can be a profound source of deep insight, healing, spiritual awareness, and ultimately transformation, I think. And as we can integrate this, like you taught us so beautifully, and thank you, Steve. It's a joy. It's a joy having these conversations with you. I always feel better myself. And it brings us back into our power and our authenticity. One doesn't become enlightened by imagining figures of light, Carl Jung said, but by making the darkness conscious. I feel like we got to do that practice really beautifully today.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Until next time, listeners, we hope you've enjoyed exploring duality, desire, and the spiritual path by having tea with your shadow today. And me and Shaman Steve. And wherever you are and wherever you find yourself, just know you're welcome here by the still waters at the still point.